Okay. We're live. Let me just check the stream, Alexander, real quick. Make sure we're good. All right. Everything looks good. The connection, it says, is excellent, which is always a good sign. All right. All right. How's everybody doing today, this evening? We just wanted to do a live, an impromptu live. And we were going to make this a video, but we decided to actually go live while it's still fresh in our heads, because it was quite an incredible press conference from Trump's legal team. Alexander, I think it was I mean, I was engaged with it. I was entertained. I thought they came out looking very strong. Some of the comments, I made some notes about some of the comments about what they said. While it's still fresh in my head, I mean, they said they're not gonna stop fighting, they're not gonna be intimidated. I think they were probably referencing what happened in Wayne County in Michigan with a lot of intimidation. They they Sidney Powell said that, this is a fight, I'm paraphrasing, a fight for not only Trump, it's a fight for the United States, to fight for America. She brought up Soros, she brought up Chavez, she brought up Lord Malik Brown in the UK, who's the guy that runs Smartmatic, and he's kind of a Soros lieutenant. She said it was incredible that, the votes are being counted outside of the United States. Giuliani, I think, cleared up the pathway towards how they're going to overturn this, or change the ties as to what's going on with the election. And they did mention that it's not about voter fraud. They mentioned that this is about election fraud. And and Jenna Ellis was really good as well. And she also I think she made an excellent point by saying, look, this is our opening statement as we are preparing to go to court. And I think, that was a very smart statement for her to make, in that, we're not here to give you guys, boom, this huge amount of evidence, that's this smoking gun, and everything's going to change off of this evidence. We've got our case. We're now giving our opening statement to the press, and we've got the evidence, and now we're going to take this to court, and we're ready to fight. And they feel like they have a very strong case. Finally, Alexander, the only thing I could, in my mind, I could think of is, these guys are putting everything on the line for, not only for Trump, but for obviously for the love of country. And they feel that the elections are an existential threat to the existence of the United States of America, to the well-being of the United States of America. They're putting everything on the line here. They must have something. These are serious people. These are serious lawyers. This was a serious press conference. If they don't have anything, which is what the fake news mainstream media says, then I mean, they're risking their entire careers, their reputations, everything. So I just cannot help but think that they feel like they have a winning case here, and this is about saving the United States. And Sidney Powell made that point numerous times. This is bigger than Trump. Jenna Ellis said it too. This is bigger than Trump. This is about the integrity and the democracy of the United States of America. Alexander, your thoughts with this press conference that literally, I think, was just about an hour ago that it wrapped up?
I mean, I would echo all of that. I would say that in a sense, we've now got through some of the preliminaries, because we've had lots of little we had lots of detailed things. There's been the issue about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court changing the country's the state's electoral law. We've about which, by the way, we had an interesting decision in the DC Court of Appeals, not the DC, in one of the federal courts of appeals. We've had lots of allegations about problems with mail-in voting, about dead people having voted. We've had problems in particular counties and things of that kind. What this press conference did was something, which in a way, you could say all those previous allegations built up to, which is an allegation, a claim. I have to call it a claim so far, because it's important to stress at the moment it's not proved, but a claim that this was all part of a general plan, a conspiracy, a centrally planned and conceived conspiracy to steal the election. In other words, what they're in effect saying is that someone in the Democratic Party, whoever, maybe in some foreign country, I think the foreign country, by the way, all the indications are that it's Britain. I mean, I'd be very surprised if it was any other country that they were referring to, but whatever. But that this election is fraudulent in its totality and was stolen in its totality as a result of a very, very carefully prepared conspiracy, which was centrally planned and directed by a group of people with malignant intent. Now, that is what they were saying. That is an enormous allegation. I mean,
it is huge.
I mean, this goes far beyond, you know, all the scandals we've been hearing in, you know, US history. If it is true, I mean, it is simply enormous. I mean, you know, Watergate would be nothing compared to this. I mean, it's enormous what they're alleging. Now, they also claim they got lots of evidence. And the most interesting piece of information in that respect was they claim to know people, they have information from whistleblowers, people who are, if not exactly parties to this alleged conspiracy, are at least very well informed about it and are presumably, you know, were part of some kind of meetings or arrangements which operated the various elements of this conspiracy. What, of course, they didn't do, and I think they were quite right, by the way, and I mean, I don't criticise them for this at all, is that they didn't lay out all the evidence for us. And I think that for them to have done it outside a courtroom would have been completely improper and entirely wrong. But it is a huge allegation. These are celebrated lawyers. If they were to come to a court making an allegation of this kind and have no evidence to support it, or unsatisfactory or inadequate evidence to support it, I think they wouldn't just risk the destruction of their careers, their reputations. They might actually face, proceedings for professional misconduct, because this is such a huge thing to allege that as a lawyer, as an attorney, you have to be very, very confident of your case before you allege it. Would someone like Sidney Powell put herself in that situation? Well, I have to say, I can't see it. I can't imagine that she would put herself at that kind of risk unless she was at least confident that she had a case. But we have to see the evidence before we can form a view about it. But, you know, this is a pretty enormous allegation. I mean, it's tremendous if they can prove it true. And may I quickly add, in a way, Russiagate was also a huge allegation, you know, that, you know, Vladimir Putin stole the election and gave it to Donald Trump and that there was collusion behind it and all of that. But of course, the Democrats never had the evidence for that. They never actually, really claimed they had the evidence. That's why they got Mueller to investigate it for them, allegedly. And of course, they never took it to court. They never actually were prepared to put their case before a court. So that already shows you that there is a very big difference here. I'm waiting for all this with bated breath. I have to make one further point, and it's a cautionary one, which is that I do wonder, given the scale of what's being alleged, whether it can be proved in time. We have 2 months before the president is inaugurated. We have a few days, perhaps a week, weeks before the states start to certify their results and draw up their electors for the Electoral College. I can't help but wonder whether, when they say that this isn't just done for Donald Trump, but it's done for the benefit of the United States, whether they are calculating that they might not be able to prove the case in time, but that they will continue to fight it thereafter, and that it might in fact continue to snowball over the weeks and months ahead, in which case, of course, we will see a Joe Biden presidency, if that's what comes, racked in a scandal the like of which the United States has never known.
Well, I mean, they were very clear that they are pressed for time. I mean, they were
absolutely.
They made it a point to tell everyone at the presser that you know, they're working as fast as they can to bring all of this to light, to prepare for the court battles that they have ahead of them. I mean, there's no doubt this thing is they're eyeing the Supreme Court. There's no doubt about it. Giuliani was very, I mean, he was very specific by calling out the FBI. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made it a point towards the end of the press conference. Where is the FBI? Where have you guys have been? Where have you guys been for the past 3-4 years?
Yes.
So, I mean, he called them out. Jenna Ellis completely demolished the media. I mean, she was she was just so on point by saying, you know what? We're not going to be intimidated. We're not afraid of you guys. We know exactly what you're going to print. We know exactly what you're going to write about us. We know exactly what to expect. We don't care. I mean, they are putting it all on the line. But going back to the beginning of the presser, going back to Giuliani and then Sidney Powell, I think we have the, you know, the dots are starting to connect as to how they're approaching this election fraud and what is a bigger issue here, which is this foreign interference into real foreign interference into the U.S. elections. And that is the one path is through the states and looking at each state individually and looking at the voter fraud that was taking place. I mean, they mentioned, you know, people voting three times. They mentioned pristine ballots, you know, being delivered to voting stations, ballots that aren't wrinkled with perfect circles on them. They mentioned stuff with the signature inconsistencies. They mentioned the spikes in Wisconsin, for example, in Michigan, which, you know, they weren't like incremental rises for Biden. Yeah. It was just a spike, 150,000 votes. Yeah. All of them go to Biden. So they mentioned that. But then they brought in Sidney Powell. Giuliani brought in Sidney Powell. And then they hit Dominion. I mean, they are going after Dominion full force. Dominion is, in my opinion, Dominion is completely screwed. I mean, Sidney Powell, you can see it in her eyes. I mean, she is ready to take them down.
Yeah.
She was talking. I have never seen a press conference with this caliber of a legal team. They were talking about Chavez. They were talking about Venezuela. They were talking about Dominion's connections to Soros. They were talking about Dominion's offices in Canada, the UK connection with Lord Malik Brown, the way the companies, the ownership of the companies keep changing hands over and over again. This was, I mean, this was stunning. It was absolutely stunning.
Well, it is. And I have to say, I mean, to my mind, because as I said, if you can think about it, all these allegations we've been hearing up, which have been incremental, have now built up to this big central allegation of a centrally planned fraud. I suspect also that there's been, you know, they've had to use this time, the last couple of weeks, to assemble evidence. I mean, this has probably been actually a more important part of what they've been doing than, in fact, you know, all these hearings that we've been hearing so much about. But I think Dominion has to be, if the actual central plank of this, because mail-in ballots obviously are a problem, dead people voting are a problem, but if something is being executed on this scale and is being done in a central way as part of a central conspiracy, then it's very difficult to see how it can be done without involving the voting machines. And that seems to be what ultimately we're heading towards. So we'll see. We'll see how strong the evidence is. And I mean, you know, they made lots of claims. They provided a lot of detail, a lot of background detail, very, very interesting background detail. But we will see where it goes. The point I was making before, by the way, is I think what they were saying is, even if they can't get it all out there before the inauguration, this is going to go on even afterwards, because this is so important that it transcends the question of the personality of Donald Trump himself. It's all about the integrity of the election process in the United States. Though having said that, if an election fraud on this scale is proved, the implications of this are awesome. And I wonder what kind of a Democratic Party we would have at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Sidney Powell, she did mention that she has evidence that Dominion does have a way to switch votes from one candidate to another. Yeah. She mentioned that it could have been done for Republicans and for Democrats.
Yes.
So she mentioned many flaws in the software. I would imagine if she has those flaws, if she has that evidence and she could prove it, then it's absolutely massive. There's I think there's no doubt about it if she could prove it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The whole everything is thrown into question. Everything.
Absolutely everything.
But she has to be able to prove it.
She has to be able to prove it. And I mean there's two things to say. I mean she has to prove that, you know. First of all, there's three things. Firstly, that it's possible. Actually, I'm sure it is possible. I think it's the least thing, the easiest thing to prove. Secondly, that it happened. More difficult, but, you know, accumulated evidence there. You're going to go and prove, if you're going to argue that there's a centralized plan, then you have to prove intention. And that's always the most difficult thing of all. But you don't have to prove intention to prove that the electoral process itself is flawed. Because, you see, it may very well be that you can prove that election vote flipping went on an enormous scale without anybody actually, without actually proving who specifically intended it that way. You can leave some of the dots. This is, I'm talking about in a criminal case or a civil case or a court case. You can leave some of the dots unjoined. But what you can show is that the election itself is unsafe. By the way, this has happened in this election. Must have happened in others. This won't have been the first one.
Well, they mentioned that too. They mentioned that this happened in other smaller cases. Their argument was that the amount, the gap by which Trump won was so big that it caused the Dominion system and the Democrats, the way they were going about it with the mail-in ballots and the votes and all that stuff that they were pulling in the middle of the night, that it made them, you know, they had to overcompensate and then it just made them, you know, get sloppy for lack of a better word. So they mentioned that. She did mention that.
Well, indeed. And I think this is actually a fundamentally important point. And I think this is perhaps the single most important point about this election. I think it's now, we now have 73 million people or even 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump. Now, in any other previous election, if this would be an enormous landslide. I mean, a presidential candidate has never won 74 million votes before in US history. This wouldn't be just a win. It would be a massive win. And by the way, nobody's disputing that Donald Trump won those 74 million votes. So what you have to argue, if you believe in these elections, is that Sleepy Joe, a person who's been around since, the 60s in American politics in one form or another, a person that we are all agreed nobody's vastly enthusiastic about, a person who many people in his own party don't like, just, you know, read what Alexandra Ocasio-Mendez is saying. I mean, you know, Cortez is saying. AOC is saying. I mean, just see what she's saying. And, you know, put it all together, you have to believe that this person actually won millions more votes than that already unprecedented number of 73 million votes that Donald Trump won. I would have thought that is the strongest reason for questioning this result, because frankly, I can remember that, you know, we were all talking about, and it wasn't just us, I mean, lots of people, Democrats, were worried that Joe Biden wouldn't bring the vote out. I mean, this is what the discussion was back in the summer. You know, who's going to come out and vote for Sleepy Joe? Well, you know, we're asked to believe, was it 77, 78, 79 million people did? really? They, you know, they came out in those vast numbers to vote for Sleepy Joe. It does seem very surprising. Now, maybe it happened. Maybe it happened. But, you know, it does seem, shall we say, very remarkable. And I think the point that the legal team were making today is it didn't, in fact, happen. Trump won a landslide victory. And precisely because so many tens of millions of people, 73 million people, 74 million people, came out and voted for Donald Trump, that meant that they had to increase the level of votes for Sleepy Joe, for Joe Biden, to simply implausible and impossible levels, and that this ultimately exposed the fraud. I think that is the point they're making. And I think it's, you know, it's a strong one. It's a very strong one.
Yeah, I mean, Cindy Powell said that. I mean, the direct quote was that, yeah, we did win. Trump won in a landslide. She said that. That's a huge statement to make. She also said with regard to, because I'm looking in the chat, and many people ask about the Germany thing, that Germany server. Someone in the media asked her about it. And she gave a really interesting response, and I'm paraphrasing it, but she said that they asked her, is it true that a server was confiscated in Germany? Mm-hmm. And Sidney Powell said yes, but she's not sure if it was confiscated by the good guys or the bad guys, mm-hmm. which was a really odd, odd statement. But my question is, the argument is, in essence, that there is a group of people, foreign individuals, powerful foreign oligarchs and foreign interests that are rigging the elections in the United States. And in this instance, they were so desperate to get Trump out that they stopped at no cost to rig the elections and to switch votes to the extent that it was just absolutely ridiculous. Like you said, 80-90%. You know, people turning up for Biden. They said there were many instances where you had voter counts of 200 to 300%. That's what Giuliani was saying in some precincts. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is, once again, when you look at the left and you look at Russiagate, there is always that sense of projection. You know, Trump is a puppet of Putin, which is laughable and stupid. Yeah. And you have to be a complete moron to believe that. But in this instance, if they have the evidence, then they are going to expose. They are going to expose the left's, you know, projection tactics. I mean, this is true meddling in the elections, in the United States elections, to an extent that's incredible. I mean, well, Soros, the UK, well, they were throwing around. What can you say?
Well, what can you say? I mean, what I would say again is this, if they can prove this, be under no doubt, it will change forever politics in the United States. And be in no doubt also, it will change forever the United States' relations with certain countries. Britain, we talked about, Canada, perhaps, Germany too. And be under no doubt too, that certain individuals, those individuals who were parties to this, will be, I'm not going to say in serious trouble, because that would be a massive understatement. As I said, for the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party, I really don't know where it would go, you know, how in what shape or form it would survive. I presume it would survive, but it would be so discredited that it would be in pieces. So, by the way, would be the Never Trumpers within the Republican Party, the Lincoln Project people and all of that. But we have to see the evidence. I'm being a bit cautious, but that's what we need to see. And by the way, I think, again, Sidney Powell on the question of the server in Germany was absolutely right to be, I won't say exactly evasive, but shall we say reticent in what she said, because you don't want to start giving away what may be your best cards in a press conference. You want to make your points in court, because that's where they count. If you start talking about them now, you alert the other side to what you have, and then they could start preparing their own counters. So you don't do it. You don't do it now. You don't say anything. You say as little as you can. You can tell people that you have all of this information, but you don't get into the detail so that they don't go around and, you know, talk to, you know, try and work out who the whistleblowers are, try to work out who the witnesses are, try to put the pressure on the witnesses. We see, by the way, what happened in Wayne County in Michigan. It's about, you know, the fact that people can be put under pressure. You don't want to do any of that. So you keep it all under very tight wraps. And then when you, you know, go forward to the court, that's where you argue.
Yeah, and they had some good news in Wayne County, then they had some bad news, and then they had some good news. And the most recent news is that the two canvassers, these board member canvassers, are now rescinding their votes, which yes, was, and at first it was 2-2, then it went 4. Then they caved into the threats and it went 4-0. And now they're rescinding that. And they're rescinding that because the Democrats, they said that the Democrats were lying about an audit. Usually you don't do, you know, you don't vote and then do an audit. That was a strange decision the face of it. You would want to do an audit and then vote. Yes. But even the audit, the Democrats don't want to do. That troubles me. The Democrats don't want to have an audit anywhere.
Anywhere,
that's suspicious on its face.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if they have nothing to worry about, they shouldn't be, trying to throw out all these cases, ridiculing them, going to the media, talking about them as all being absurd. They should be welcoming them. They should say, by all means, you know, let's have all these recounts. Let's look at all of this. Let's find out what happened, because we are sure we won. We are not worried about this. Let Donald Trump have his day. Let it all be proved. Instead, we've had exactly the opposite reaction. And that does beg lots and lots of questions. And by the way, the Wayne County business, in my opinion, I mean, from a lawyer's point of view, it's incredibly useful because it's created evidence. It's created evidence because these two Republicans claim that they were harassed and pressured. And that's evidence you can use in court. And I believe they said that in affidavits. In other words, they said it on oath. So that is, you know, on the face of it, very persuasive evidence. So it's something to bear in mind. I mean, it's from a lawyer's point of view, a strong gain. I mean, it's a stronger position than if these two people had held their ground, refused to certify the results, and it had just gone ahead and the state had decided to, accept the results anyway, or whatever it was that they were going to do. So it's turned out, even from the lawyer's point of view, even better than it would have done otherwise.
Yeah, and they also made a point about the fact that the media always says, where's the evidence, where's the evidence? And I think this is a good point that Giuliani brought up. He says that they have at least 10 witnesses willing to testify and hundreds more that he can't show. And he says they're getting, you know, thousands of calls of people that want to come forward. But I think that's a good point, that everyone is always saying, where's the evidence, where's the evidence? From a legal perspective, when you have affidavits and when you have people that are actually willing to testify, and Giuliani made it a point to tell the media, not only are these people willing to testify, but these people are willing to testify, and many of them fear for their future, fear for their family. Some of them, he said, fear for their lives. He says, these are, you know, we're trying to protect them as best we can, but they are willing to testify in a court of law, and we have hundreds of affidavits. That is evidence, is it not?
Of course it's evidence, exactly. What we can't say at the moment without seeing it ourselves is how strong this evidence is. But to say that there is no evidence is clearly untrue. I mean, there is evidence. There is lots of evidence there. That's the difference with Russiagate. In Russiagate, there was never any evidence at all. There was lots of nonsense, lots of, you know, newspaper articles, all kinds of things were said. But we certainly didn't get into a situation where people were coming forward and saying things on oath, which they appear to be saying, and saying they're prepared to say it in court, which they're prepared to do. That is evidence. And as a judge, you take it seriously. Of course you must.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else that caught your eye during the press conference, Alexander? Well, where do we go from here? What are the next steps?
The first thing to say is they were clearly a team. And that is interesting. I mean, I have wondered whether, all this group of people really are working together. Well, they clearly are. So they're clearly a team. There's clearly some organization now behind this. So that's interesting and that's important in itself. And this is going to be a coordinated battle, fought out, no doubt, over the next few days and perhaps longer. And I think this is the end of the beginning. I mean, we had the election, we had the allegations, the concerns, the shock that many people had on election night when they went to bed in the evening thinking that Trump had won and got up in the morning and suddenly looked as if Biden was winning after all. So, I mean, that period started with that day. And we've had all these accumulated doubts and comments and hearings. That period of phony war, if you like, has ended. Now we have, with this press conference, what either is, the real battle, or, which I found difficult to believe, it's the point where it all starts to end. And, these people, it turns out, when they're telling us they've got all this evidence, it doesn't actually amount to what they say. But I find that I do find that very, very difficult to believe. So now the real battles begin. And we had the argument, the decision in the federal appeal court about Pennsylvania, in which basically the appeal court said, yes, it does look as if the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania changed the election law unconstitutionally, but the only people who are in a position to challenge that are the House of Representatives of the state of Pennsylvania. So that, it seems to me, opens up all sorts of interesting arguments at the Supreme Court, but it also opens up the route to the Supreme Court, because you now have that decision by the Federal Court of Appeal, which you can then take to the Supreme Court. And we'll see whether the House of Representatives of Pennsylvania, which I believe has a Republican majority, might want to actually join this suit, and whether that argument that it can only be brought by the House of Representatives of Pennsylvania is even a good one. I doubt it is, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was Joe DeGeneva. He's also joined the
team. Well, I know.
In the back as well.
I mean, bear something in mind. These are all people who cut their, we saw them all at work over Russiagate. They were the lawyers who were right. They got Russiagate completely right. All of them, Giuliani, Sidney Powell, DeGeneva, all of these people, they were the ones who were arguing this whole Russiagate thing is nonsense. They were right about that. They were completely right about that. So why assume that they're not right about this one? I would assume, on the contrary, that on balance, they're probably right about this one. Let's see what their evidence is.
Yeah. I mean, we just go back to how we opened this live stream. And, to me, why would they go through all of this if this was just, why would you do this for loyalty, to blind loyalty to Trump? I mean, that doesn't make any sense either. No matter how good of a friend you are to Trump or the U.S. president, you wouldn't risk everything on some bogus,
Absolutely.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any kind of sense.
Yeah. And the fact that, and I think there's another tell, and I'd like you to comment on this, the fact that you had a lot of lawyers joining maybe, 4 or 5 days after Trump said that he was not going to concede and he was going to fight this. I think that signals that people like Sidney Powell or Joe DeGeneva needed 3, 4, 5 days, a week or two, to look at all the evidence, to look at the case, and to say, you know what, I have a chance at winning. This could actually make my career.
Absolutely. I mean, You can't rush into a case like this. I mean, that's absolutely impossible. I mean, you have to first of all have a critical mass of evidence to persuade you that there's a case, and then you have to have a critical mass of evidence beyond that to feel confident of taking that case to the court. What we heard today at this press conference is that these people, eminent lawyers, all of them, brilliant trial attorneys, brilliant jurists, think they have that critical evidence to take to the court, including, obviously, and primarily, the Supreme Court of the United States. We shall see. We have to wait and see, because obviously we haven't seen this evidence, and it's quite proper that we haven't. But again, I find it difficult to believe that all these people would put not just their reputations on the line, but, you know, would risk misconduct charges if they didn't feel that there was something there, something important and big there. So we will see. And if it is as big as they say, well, as I said, the future of the world will change.
Yeah. All right. All right, guys, we wanted to get this live stream out to you guys as quickly as possible. So we saw the presser and we wanted to go live and speak with all of you. And everyone that's in the live stream, I just want to say, you know, there's a good amount of Biden trolls here. And that's a good sign, actually. So all these trolls that are here, you know, these 3-4 trolls that are in the live stream, that means that they're panicking. That means that the left and the Democrats are panicking for them to have the trolls in this live stream. So that's a good sign. They know they got completely outed at Russiagate, and they look like a bunch of idiots by buying into the whole Russiagate thing. They got completely outed with the Ukrainegate thing. And now it looks like, you know, the momentum might be changing. We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. But there's no doubt that everyone knows deep down inside that this whole election, something just doesn't add up. And I'm being very kind in my words by saying something doesn't add up. Yeah. We all know what happened, everybody. We all know what happened. Left, right, and center, Democrat, Republican, Independent, we all know what happened. But anyway, we're going to be monitoring the story. Alexander, let's do some super chats. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, nothing at all. I mean, I think we said what we can say at this point in time. Obviously, there'll be much more coming. We'll see what is going to be coming.
All right. From Frank Castle, $4 super chat. Thank you very much, Frank. From Gleska News, great channel. Subscribe to it. It's a 20-pound super chat. Where is the director of the FBI? I mentioned at the beginning that Giuliani called out the FBI. Absolutely. The FBI has been silent the whole 4 years of Trump's, not even silent. They've been working against Trump.
Yes. Well, they have. I mean, they were spying on him. They were just working against him. I mean, they were trying to construct a case against him. So, I mean, of course they were working against him.
That doesn't get more worse than that. All right. From Moon Swan, Silverlight, 20-pound. Super chat, what with everything going on, not just with Trump, but with the so-called Great Reset, what do you think the future holds? I'm trying to remain hopeful, but it's really difficult, and I do get depressed from time to time.
We all get depressed, and we all get worried, and of course, it's perfectly normal that we should, and it's right that we do, because if we are all just complacent and confident that everything will turn out well, then of course, we let our guards slip, and all kinds of things happen. I am absolutely sure, nonetheless, despite, you know, having moments of concern myself, that things will come through in the end. They always do. As I said, if you know, these great reset plans, I was listening to this, you know, new green plan that was being announced in Britain yesterday, and I mean, it is so completely unworkable that it's difficult to take seriously in itself, but it will provoke a backlash. And that is true of everything. If you try to push things in certain directions, you will get resistance. You will get resistance wherever you go. I mean, what was it? This, you know, this line in one of the sort of Star Wars films, you know, about Tarkin. You know, if you tighten your grip, the more things will slip through your fingers. That's exactly what will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't despair. Things will work out in the end. From Valies, a $20 super chat. Thank you, Valies. I hope you're well. From Marianne, who is a new member to the drag community. Welcome, Marianne. Great to have you here. From Robert, $9.99 super chat. Thank you very much, Robert. From Moon Swan, Silverlight is a new member to the drag community. Welcome to the drag community. One second. From JJHW, was the press conference to get the criminals panicking so they will make mistakes or turn state's evidence?
Well, yes.
Real quick, Alexander, Sidney Powell did say, if, especially with regards to Dominion, if you have information, come forward. This is serious. And this is she said this is a federal offense, it's a felony. If you have information, please come forward. So she was sending a message out as well.
Yes, I mean, I think it is. I mean, I think it's partly that. I mean, these press conferences serve multiple agendas. They're addressed to people like us. You know, we're wondering what's going on, so they tell us what they're planning and what they're thinking, and that keeps us interested. They address Trump supporters up and down the country, you know, because they read the newspapers, you know. They may be getting demoralized, so that it has that. But undoubtedly, it has partly the purpose of destabilizing and worrying the opposition. Of course it does. It makes them think, well, you know, maybe there are things that we need to be worried about. Maybe we start having to look around and worry about what's going on. And maybe, of course, there will be people who will say, you know, I have all this information. I'm really very ashamed and very horrified about what happened, but I've been very frightened up to now. Now I know that there are other people coming forward, that there are, you know, lawyers out there fighting this case, and that gives me the courage to come out and speak also. So, you know, that's what these press conferences do. They serve multiple purposes, and this is a classic example of one.
All right. From Take Pick 1313, I think there was a misspelling. Biden said time for us to heal, or maybe heil. Love you guys. All right. Thank you very much for that super chat. From Margaret Wells, a $25 super chat. Thank you, Margaret, for that super chat. From Magnesia Shan, ZAR100. Thank you very much for that super chat. From Ernesto Cardenas, 17900 super chat. You are amazing. Thank you very much for that super chat. From Jade Reef, a $5 super chat. Thank you very much for that super chat. And I think I got everything. Let me just do another quick check. All right. Yeah, that is everything. All right, guys. Yes.
But that was a wonderful live, if I may say. Let's keep a little, well, obviously we will be keeping an eye on this. But this battle is now, I mean, this is the real moment when it starts being joined. Up to now, as I say, what we've seen is the sort of preliminary moves. It's always like this in court proceedings, that they really all come together suddenly and at one point, and you then realize what a lot of the early moves, which you didn't fully understand what they were all about, now they'll start to make more sense.
Yeah. Well, what are you looking to see in the next 3-4 days?
Well,
lawyers, from a legal standpoint, what are you looking to see?
What still isn't clear to me is where they think the trial court is going to be. I mean, remember, the Supreme Court of the United States is not a trial court. It is a constitutional court. It's partly an appeal court, but it's a constitutional court. But it's not usually or primarily a court of trial. It can be to some extent, but that is the part of the legal strategy I am still uncertain about. So I want to see what the next legal moves are going to be, because it seems to me that now we have to have a trial, and who tries it is going to be one of the most important things of all. Bear in mind that there are also, you know, very important political aspects to this, and at some point it will have to go to Congress also. So who controls the Senate is going to matter an awful lot.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned what's going on in Georgia with Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood wasn't at that press conference, but he's been going just full animal on Georgia.
Yes, absolutely.
It's incredible, the work that he's doing as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm very aggressive. Very, and that's good. I mean, they're ready to fight.
Well, of course, if you're not aggressive in this kind of case, then you're going to be steamrolled over. By the way, the interesting thing about Georgia is now, you know, we have I remember hearing people say at the beginning, well, you know, audits only produce a couple of hundred ballots here or there, which have turned out, you know, but never enough. Well, we've got more than just a few hundred now in Georgia, it seems to me. I mean, I think we've got, you know, close on 1,000, or perhaps even more than 1,000. So this is already looking different from what some of those people who were saying, you know, Georgia's, you know, this whole exercise is a waste of time. It's already looking different from what they were saying. Yeah, and we will certainly have to talk about Georgia soon. Georgia is on our mind.
All right, let's do a couple more super chats that came in from Sean Moreland. Thank you very much for that super chat. Sean from let's see, Life of Brian. Maybe it's better if Biden gets in with fraud. Best if one state flips. Trump was mostly talk, and people will eventually need to move on to noncompliance, direct action, and local involvement.
I know that argument, and I can see the value of it. I mean, in terms of, you know, the leave Biden to stew in the massive problems that he's created. But do bear in mind that, you know, if Biden is the president, he has all the powers and levers of the presidency, or perhaps not so much him, but the people around him. And that in itself is a disturbing and worrying thing. So, yes, I can understand some people who say, you know, better Biden, and then you can come after him and throw all these allegations of fraud at him, delegitimize him, open the way up for, you know, impeachment and all of that. Do you really want to put the United States through all of this? Surely it is better if there has been fraud to prove it now, I would have thought, and avoid going through all of that. But whether that's possible in the time available, I wonder.
All right, and the final chat, super chat from JJHW says, trial possible at Gitmo. the Gitmo that Obama promised he would shut down, but never
well
did.
Indeed, well indeed. I was also reading a list of tweets that Obama put out about, you know, how he was ending the war in Afghanistan and was going to pull all the troops out of that too. And well, we know what happened there.
Yeah, we know what happened there, and we know that if Joe Biden does get into the Oval Office, expect a lot more wars. That's for sure.
Well, just to say, by the way, I'm reading Obama's book at the moment. One of those ordeals one has to put oneself through if one does a program like this on the Duran. And I have to say, I mean, shall we say that all my feelings about Obama have not just been confirmed, they've been quadrupled. I mean, it really is one of the most, I'm going to use the word mendacious memoirs I've ever read, frankly.
This is second. This is second or third. I heard this one's 800 pages, isn't it?
It is. It's a long, it's a long grinding read. So there we are.
My God. My God. All right. We'll leave it there. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this live stream. And we hope you have a really good day wherever you are, or good evening, or good morning. And stay tuned for more videos tomorrow. Yeah. We've got some more videos coming out tomorrow. And we'll be on top of this story. Thank you for the super chats. Thank you for all the questions in the live stream. Even the trolls. You guys do provide entertainment.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, we've got one more super chat just came in. If the U.S. military seized the server in Germany, can this go into a military trial?
I don't think so. I think this is a civilian case. I think the military have to hand it over to whoever is the civil authority, which, by the way, would include the president's lawyers, because they're entitled to see all the evidence. And that's how it would be dealt with. But we know, we'll find out more. Very interesting. I mean, you know, all this is, all of this, all the pieces of the jigsaw are out there. We just haven't put them together yet.
Yeah, but we got some good hints today, and we got one final super chat. This was a good one to end the live stream, and then we'll end the live stream. And I think we'll. I'm going to go to sleep. But all right, from Nedger, he says a 10-pound super chat. The Dominion shield generators are down, Lord Vader. You may commence your attack. Very, very well said from Star Wars. Yes, we will leave it there. That's a great super chat to end the live stream with. Take care, everybody. Have a good day, afternoon, or.